is URN University Radio Nottingham.
Thing about Arsenal is they always try and walk it in. Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Well, you're not watching them.
They're having a laugh today.
Well, they're winning.
Yeah, they're having a laugh.
You're listening to View from the Stands, the home of football debate on URN.
Welcome along, guys. It's View from the Stands time here on University Radio Nottingham. I'm your host, Declan Boardman, and we're going to be taking you through the next half hour, talking a little bit about the football, some of the biggest stories that's coming around in the Premier League and around the world of football. We've got a few casualties of Ocean last night, so some people have washed in onto the shore, so let's examine what we've got. A few drunken sailors and a bit of driftwood that is being able to get themselves into the show this week. James Aldred, Joe Wilkinson and Alex Duke are the panel, but this beached whale is able to get through some pretty good topics here. So a little bit later on, we're going to talk a little bit about the UEFA Europa Conference League, something that is a brand new initiative that is apparently going to be kicking in 2021 or 2020. Whether it's a good idea or not, we will discuss that. But first, we are going to talk a bit about the struggling teams in the Premier League. We're able to confirm one of the scores that has come in today. Brighton were able to triumph over Tottenham Hotspur 3-0 was the final score in that game. And quite apt that we actually are able to talk about some of the struggling teams. And let's start off actually with Tottenham. Alex, you were the one who suggested this topic that we talk about. Out of all the struggling teams, that result today that's come out of Brighton really does make it look as if Pochettino's going to really struggle this season with what he's got. And, you know, everyone knew what happened in the summer with the Champions League final. Going forward for Spurs, what are they going to achieve this season? And can we see any sort of hope going forward for
them? I think, honestly, today, like, a statement had to be made against Brighton, and particularly after, you know, the 7-2 loss to Bayern Munich, that was unbelievable. And considering sort of how easily Spurs psychologically capitulated, you know, they needed to make a statement today with not only a win, I'd say a confident win as well, a 2-3 goal win, and to actually lose by two or three goals, to lose their goalkeeper while making an error. It was just sort of a comedy of errors at points. I think Pochettino is going to be under a lot of pressure this season. I think there was an assumption that he was kind of immune to pressure because of the progress he'd made. But I think this season, it could be a very big challenge for him, to be honest.
Not signing players as well is... It was something that when the summer had come and gone, Pochettino said he was very happy with the players that he had. But he did bring in Ndombele. But the wire criticisms are not bringing in enough numbers. Knowing that Christian Eriksen... looks like he's going to go on a free in the summer coming up, and also Toby Alderweireld. James, going forward, do we see that Pochettino could be sacked? Is he unsackable? But knowing that he has that attachment to Spain, could he be taken away, and could he maybe pinch some of the players from Spurs?
Yeah, potentially. I think it's a real time of change at Tottenham, and change obviously can be positive, or it can also bring a bit of turmoil. Obviously, you've had the ground move, you've had seasons of a lack of spending, so it's a squad which kind of has needed rejuvenation as well. You've had uncertainty about the manager because, you know, it's not a week goes by when Pochettino isn't linked with the Real Madrid job, the Manchester United job. So there is a real period of uncertainty there. It does seem from an outsider looking in that and this may just be me falling victim for headlines and kind of the media spin on things, but it does feel like Pochettino's heart isn't necessarily in that Tottenham project anymore. And it felt like almost that Champions League final was kind of almost a culmination of what Pochettino has done at Spurs. It almost felt like that was the point where if Pochettino had moved on at that stage, then you wouldn't have blamed him, because to take Tottenham to that level, considering where Tottenham were 10 years ago, you know, when we were growing up, they were a mid-table team, to get them to that point was incredible. But it does feel like his heart is out of that project at the minute. And, you know, performances like today against Brighton, you know, there's obviously been the cliche and over the years of Spursy type performances, and it did seem for a while that Pochettino kind of arrested that and wrestled with it. So, for example, you look at that Ajax game last year in the Champions League, which was, you know, a very unlike Spurs kind of performance and result. But it does feel at the minute that kind of old mentality is creeping back into Tottenham, and that is because I think the manager doesn't doesn't have as much commitment to the cause anymore, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes, whether it's more likely that he'll go on his own accord because of what he's done. He's almost built himself up, built enough time and backing from the owners to kind of get away with it, I think. But I wouldn't be surprised if on his own accord he then makes a move, and obviously Spain is a really attractive proposition for him.
Well, I was just going to say, if you look at what happened at Tottenham Hotspur versus what happened at Liverpool when they lose a Champions League final, you can realistically understand why Pochettino is not in the right frame of mind to manage that side anymore. That's completely clear from his body language on the touchline. He gets, I think, what I've seen this season, he gets a lot more frustrated at his players a lot more easily. His post-match press conferences, he seems a bit more detached than he is usually.
So you agree what James is saying? It's not just us creating headlines here.
No,
he's not happy at the club.
Well, Pochettino, I think, has got to the stage in his managerial career where he knows, in order for his stock to be the highest possible, he needs to start winning things. Because it was fine before because it was off the project. But they're getting to the apex of the project. You know, the stadium's built. They've got a really good team that is going to be waning soon. Some say already waning, you know, with Alderweireld and Vertonghen maybe not as strong as they used to be. And all he really needed was... Because after Liverpool won the Champions League, they went out and spent £200 million and they won it the year later. They got to second place. They're fighting for the title this season. Tottenham Hotspur spend on Ndombele and I can't remember who it was from Leeds. Jack Clark, that's it.
Sessegnon too as well.
Sessegnon too. So they spent £100 million, but I just don't think it wasn't the kind of signings, the marquee signings that Liverpool did. And I think that shows, I think he was taught then that Spurs don't have the ambitions that I think match his own. They are perfectly content with the top four, whereas Pochettino wants to take this team further. And if he was maybe allowed to spend in the ways that he wanted to, then it might all be a bit different.
Speaking to some Spurs fans, though, in recent weeks, I posed the question of, would you have rather spent the money that you spent in the summer, or would you have rather tied down Alderweireld and Christian Eriksen to new contracts? And they went, hands down, definitely, we need Christian Eriksen. Although Ndombele is a really good player, we desperately need that sort of spine of the team. And knowing that can be broken apart in only a matter of months, it does seem as if Spurs could struggle going forward. We'll move a little bit away from London now, and we'll actually venture up north, and we'll go to Manchester United, because they are really struggling. They played against Arsenal on Monday, and Alex, I was fortunate enough to watch with yourself, and it was a draw in the end, 1-1, and it seemed as if the conversation surrounding that game was two poor sides really trying to compete, tried to actually play a game of football, and in the end we got two actually quite good goals, but in the end Manchester United were very, very poor, and going forward they don't really look as if they're going to have much to look forward to for the rest of the season. Do you agree with that?
I think it was a very poor showing from Man United, to be honest. I think they possibly played slightly better than Arsenal, but it was a really, really poor standard. And I think Arsenal perhaps could have won the game in the second half. And just United, psychologically, you know, to also, I think the more concerning result is probably the 0-0 against AZ Alkmaar. That was really poor not to register a shot on target, and they were dominated in that game. I just think, you know, the Ole's at the wheel movement's gone after 3 months, and to be honest, I think he will be sacked by Christmas, just because of the reason that Allegri's around, who I think would probably suit Man United more with his in-game flexibility. I just genuinely think Ole is not up to the job.
So, Joe, Paul Pogba, unfit. Marcus Rashford is the only striker, and he was played on Monday, but arguably was nowhere near 100% fitness. Anthony Martial still out. There's a question of whether he's been given enough money, despite the fact that he's spent a record on a centre back in Harry Maguire. With the fact that Ollie's been given quite a lot of money to spend, and he's still thin on the ground when it comes to forwards, and there's also the potential that Paul Pogba can leave, does a little bit have to be put on the owners, or is that not really the case? Is Ollie's tactics more at fault than the lack of spending and the fact that he didn't find a replacement for Lukaku?
I'm not sure. It's difficult to place the blame. There is obviously blame to go to the owners. They clearly don't have a plan at all when it comes to Manchester United. In the way that most clubs plan, you can see with Manchester City, you can see with Liverpool, you can even see to a certain extent with Everton, that they do plan like at least 2 years in advance. They know what signings they need to be made. They will spring on the chances to sign players if they come available, but they already have the targets in their mind. It sort of seems like Man United go into the transfer market and sort of close their eyes and go, I'll have that one. And it's just, there's no kind of, yeah, there's no plan. There's no, it's really difficult to say. Obviously, I don't know how much the owners are to do with that. Obviously, that's Ed Woodward's sort of domain. It doesn't also help that they don't have a director of football.
The counter-argument to that, though, is Daniel James was brought in. He's a future star that's going to come forward. And also Harry Maguire. He's an England's international.
But it is good, obviously, but that isn't enough. This is almost making up for the last 5 years of absolutely horrendous signings. They then are terrible negotiators when it comes to contracts, clearly. Didn't Marcus Rashford just was given £200,000 a week? Jesse Lingard's on like 120. These are contracts that they shouldn't be getting. And then they wonder why in the summer, when they try to get rid of all the old dead wood, like Matic, who are probably on like 150k, why they can't get rid of them. It's because they're on such horrendously high contracts. So they're getting themselves into a complete mess financially.
And that's something that you can actually praise Everton on, because of the fact that they are very shrewd in their contract negotiations. They only give players the value that they are worth, whereas Manchester United, they seem to not have a waging structure. You know, the epitome of all of that being Alexis Sanchez, who's having to be loaned out to Inter Milan, and I think actually Inter Milan are only paying about 10-20% of actually all of his wages.
United aren't. They're paying what 70-80% for him not even to play. Yeah. That's just
to
unbelievable.
Play against Manchester United, yeah. He is being paid to play against them.
Crazy.
And he's playing well, ironically, yeah. As well. You know.
So now let's move on to one more team, and it's your team, James. I'll try and contain myself a little bit, although being a Liverpool fan, I can sort of empathise with the way that Everton are going as of right now. It does seem as if, with the money that was spent in the summer, is there a belief that Everton are underachieving massively in the start of this season? And also, is the potential that Marco Silva is to blame, or is it the players?
I think that you're definitely right in terms of the underachieving thing. I remember being sat here with you guys at the end of last season when we were doing our preview for this ahead of next season, and it was Jez was saying to me, in fact, are you concerned about Wolves? Are you concerned about Leicester and West Ham for this season? And I quite bullishly said, no, I'm actually not. I actually think we've got the strongest, because of the way that we finished the season, the signings that we were rumoured to have made, and actually at the end of the transfer window I was actually pretty content with a lot of the business. I still thought we were striker light, because I think Moyes Keane obviously is a young lad, he's extremely raw, so if that doesn't work out, which at the minute it's looking a bit 50-50, we don't really have enough attacking depth to kind of back up that. So I do think you're right in terms of the underachieving aspect, certainly, especially when you're losing away at Bournemouth, Aston Villa, and at home to Sheffield United. You know, Everton, bar Manchester City last week, no disrespect to these teams, but Everton haven't played anyone yet.
And now you're playing away this week at Turf Moor against Burnley,
which is extremely tough
fixture. Yeah. And Marco Silva looks like he can't buy any of these points right now. Does it feel as if the manager could go in the next couple of weeks?
Do you know what? It's really, the relationship with Silva is extremely, it's odd, because his predecessors, take Allardyce out of the equation because I'm trying to erase him from my memory. But you take someone like Roberto Martinez, and Martinez, you could tell, was so committed and in terms of engaged in the club. It was like Everton meant a lot to him, getting that job, and he got so stuck into all the community work, etc. It was like he saw that as the pinnacle, like, for him in terms of management wise at the time. Now he's obviously doing bits with Belgium, but he really got himself involved. Koeman, on the other hand, was extremely cold. You could tell he was using Everton as a stepping stone. He was a careerist, didn't kind of get stuck into those community activities, like I say. Whereas Silva's kind of somewhere in the middle, and it's difficult then to gain an identity or kind of feeling towards Silva, because it does, you know, move back and forth. Because after that Lincoln City game in the League Cup, for example, this came under a little bit of criticism, but he encouraged all the players to go to the away and give the shirts to the fans, etc., which obviously gets him on side. But then you see him in the dugout against Sheffield United, and, you know, just sat in his seat, not gearing his you know, players on. And also at the end of the game, Everton finished with Theo Walcott, Richarlison, Moyes Keane, Calvert-Lewin, Cenk Tosun, and Bernard all on the pitch at the same time. So he's running out of tactical ideas in that regard.
I think the problem with Moyes Keane as an individual, you mentioned him, is he is he's not a striker who's going to drop back and get involved in plays. No. He's very much a striker who finishes off moves. So basically, the success of Moise Keane is basically reliant on the success of the wingers, Iwobi, Walcott, Richarlison, Bernard. And like, I think Iwobi's had a decent start to the season, but can you rely on a player like him every week to be providing constantly to Moise Keane?
Well, the Moise Keane thing for me, he's looked his most effective when he's played in a two with Calvert-Lewin. So Calvert-Lewin does all the bread and butter kind of stuff of a centre-forward, knocks it down, occupies the centre-backs, and then Keane can just play off there rather than Keane having to do both roles. And this is the frustration with Silva, I think, for a lot of Everton fans at the minute, is he has an obsession with this 4-2-3-1 formation, which again he's gone with today. He's gone again with two holding midfielders in Fabian Delph and Morgan Schneiderlin, which away to Burnley. Mm. I know it's a hard game, I know it's physical, I know it's tough, but if you want to kind of take the initiative to a team of like Burnley, which you should be winning those games if you want to compete for European football, you know, that kind of formation, it doesn't really get you excited. And also, he is continuing to play certain individuals in Gylfi Sigurdsson, Seamus Coleman, whose forms have definitely dropped. So I do think he's under pressure. It's going to be interesting today and over the course of the next few weeks how he turns it around.
Final word on it, though. Do we think that he will stay? And then we'll have the final word from James on it, whether he wants him to stay. Do you think that Marcus Silva will be sacked in the coming weeks?
Do I think? Or did,
do you right. think?
I think he will, but I think some credit is due, because I watched the whole Everton-Man City game. I genuinely thought Everton played very, very well and were actually unlucky to not come away with anything. But I just think to lose 2-0 to Sheffield United, that's a real red flag. And when there's managers like... I think a manager like Eddie Howe could potentially end up at Everton. I don't know if he'd leave Bournemouth mid-season, but I think a manager like a Howe or a Rodgers or a Nuno, like an established current Premier League manager, would probably be quite interested in going to Everton.
And what do you think, James? Do you want to back him, or do you think that there needs to be a change at Everton?
The problem with Everton in my lifetime is that they turn up for a game against Manchester City when there's absolutely no pressure on them to succeed, but they don't turn up when it comes to Villa away, when the pressure's on them. So, for example, they won't turn up today. I know that for a fact. I just feel like... So for me, there's a systemic, deeper problem at the club that needs to be uprooted, that needs to be changed through Mascheri. And I also think you can't keep chopping and changing managers. There has to be a bit of continuity. There has to be a little bit of stability. And I think, as well as that, I'm not sure that there's anyone else out there at the moment who's attainable, who could come in and do a better job than Silva at the minute.
Let's have just an abridged conversation about the second topic that we are due to talk about. The UEFA Conference League, or Europa League 2, is something that wants to be introduced by 2021. It would involve, basically, instead of having the 6th and 7th teams in the Premier League going in, it would have 8th and 9th. So teams such as maybe Everton would actually qualify for this sort of competition. Sorry, James. Hmm. But do we really think that this is a good idea, knowing that more teams that are lower down in the top half of the Premier League are getting involved in these sorts of away games? There's a criticism that they will be playing against not very good sides in Europe. But the pros of it is that you get to play European football and get to see your team in European competition. I don't know what we think about this.
I think it's sort of... I'm personally quite opposed to it myself. I think it kind of like degrades European football a little bit. I get I like the idea of the opportunity of these smaller teams playing, but I think if there should be a third European league, it should be really, really small teams, you know, like bottom division teams or something. Like, my problem with it as well is, you know, most teams are playing 7-8 games a month anyway. So I just think it would just be another addition to the fixture list, more football. And I actually watched this listen to this podcast on sort of footballers being overplayed, and it sort of hypothesized about football stopping for a year and what would happen and how things would improve. Obviously that wouldn't happen, but I just think it would just cluster the schedule, and I just don't really see many advances. And who really wants to see, you know, potentially Burnley again in European football? Like, that happened once.
The conversation that was put forward, though, was that they tried to go one way, UEFA. They wanted this Super League a few years ago. There's conversations of them having Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, all in these big, the top teams in Europe.
They're going to ditch the Champions League for that, weren't they?
Yeah,
that
was their idea. And they tried to go one way because they wanted to try and improve the quality of Champions League. And now they've tried to improve the quality of Europa League by including this Europa Conference League. Their aims, UEFA, seem to be to try and improve the quality of Europa League by basically creating another league that's even lower in quality. It seems to me that's not really logical. Why don't they just make the Europa League better?
Money. I think it stinks of something where another way for the UEFA to get even more money, and we know how much they love money.
Whoa, cynical.
I haven't actually been to the media law course, so allegedly they like money. I think for me, I wouldn't mind it as much personally, because I think I like to see a bit of change. It's kind of boring seeing Real Madrid play PSG for the fourth or season in a row or something. Like, I'm a bit done with those kind of fixtures. I would find it quite interesting watching a team that I've never heard of in the Austrian league play against, like, I don't know, like Everton or Leicester or Wolves or something. And I think it gives their supporters something else to shout about as well, another competition that they are more likely to win. Because at the moment, because of the domestic domination of Manchester City and most likely the other top six teams, because they won't keep winning all the trophies forever, you know, I don't know how far back to go when a top six team hasn't won one. It's probably not that.
Surely you can kind of do that in the Europa League, though, like see obscure teams and see them play. Like, I think an amendment that could potentially solve it is change the system where teams who finish third in Champions League groups go. So get rid of that and actually have the Europa League teams and give these smaller teams a bigger opportunity to go further in the competition.
I think, to play devil's advocate here, you guys are in a very privileged position. You're Liverpool supporters. James, with a
not
season
anyway,
in a position that this season you're trying to fight for something, if you were getting towards the dog days and it was getting to sort of like April, May, and you could potentially get yourself a place in the Europa Conference League, are you thinking you want your team to bust a gut to try and get in those places? Because even though, like Joe said, it's a competition, it's there to be won, and it could be something that you, at the end of the season, you win a trophy. Is it something that you would be interested in if you got to the point of maybe qualification to this competition?
Well, I just agree with what the lads have been saying about just make the Europa League better, because that's the main kind of attraction, do you know what I mean? If you want to qualify, if you can't get into the Champions League, which... You know, I know I'm an extremely cynical Everton fan, but I think we might just miss out on it this year. if you can't get there, then you've got to aim for the Europa League. You don't want to kind of, not to, you know, disservice the competition. You want to, you know, you want to be in the proper one, really. Do you know what I mean? And I do think it's an opportunity for certain teams, obviously, to progress. And Europe's great because, you know, not necessarily... You know, it's tours away, trips away to go and see different cities, different cultures, etc. So it's good for certain teams, I'm sure, and I don't want to belittle certain teams and pat them on the head, but for me personally, I wouldn't be... Unless Everton were within touching distance of the Champions League or the Europa League, I wouldn't be driving them on to try and get...
Unanimously, you all agreed with the fact that the ruling of Europa League... being you would go into if you were third place in the group stage, you all agreed that ruling should be totally changed, that if you were in third place that shouldn't exist.
I think it's unfair. I just think, you know, teams, if you go out of the Champions League, you go out of the Champions League. I don't think you should get another opportunity in the Europa League, and it gives smaller teams, you know, the finals of Europa Leagues are relatively common, you know, Chelsea and Arsenal, Chelsea have turned up a couple of times, you know, Atletico Madrid have turned up a couple of times. We're not seeing these small teams, you know, it's always, however many small teams and however many obscure teams you see in the group stages, it's always an established name in the final. So I think that does need to change.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, seeing Sevilla win a hat-trick of the trophies because they keep going out third in their group stage and then they get another chance and win it, it's just unfair. Like, if you're a small team, I don't know, I'm saying Austria again, the Austrian league, and you've done really well to qualify as maybe second in the group stage, you know, you've worked really hard, and then you get Atletico Madrid. It's a bit ridiculous. They shouldn't be in that competition. You have two layers of competition for a reason. Why are you diluting it by putting in much better teams? Just to give, it seems like a bit pandering to the bigger teams, which is what is constantly happening at UEFA. Is they just pander to the big teams because they are the ones that generate the revenues. And I'm going down this line again because it is so true. Whenever you look at anything, it just stinks of the pandering and the money.
Well, I think that wraps it up for this week for View from the Stands. We were able to cover a lot of ground when it comes to some of the lower teams in the Premier League and worldwide. If you want to stick around here on URN, there will be a little bit of coverage of some teams that are playing in action today. Liverpool going to be playing against Leicester, so hopefully I'll be able to cheer them on from a warm home. But yeah, if you want to stick around here, we're going to be I'll be wrapping it up here, and then James Aldred will be the host for the 3 o'clock games. I have been very grateful to have Alex Duke, Joe Wilkinson and James Aldred here for View from the Stands. If you want to tune in next week for more football conversation, make sure you tune into URN.